Welcome to Define You Radio, the place to be for real talk and real tips to help you define your personal and professional life. Class is in session with your host, the Southern Belle of Bold, Valencia Griffin Wallace. Pens and papers ready. Class is now in session.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the new season of Define You Radio. This month's series, in case you guys are brand new to the show, is on vision. And I am your host, the beautiful, enlightening, engaging, entertaining, all of the other E words too, Southern Belle of Bold, Valencia Griffin Wallace. On Define You Radio, you get the life lessons, strategies, and more to help you define your life on your own terms. Welcome all new listeners, and thank you for being here. Make sure you subscribe and connect with the show at www.defineyouradio.com. Now, since we're still in January, and we're talking about vision, it's January. What else will we be talking about? I have a guest. You guys are going to love. She's a newbie to the show. I'm sure she will be back. Y'all know I love my repeat guests and my Define You Radio family. Her name is Miss LaVon Copeland. And if you're in the South, you know Copeland's is a very good restaurant. I just want to throw that out there. I don't know if she's related to them, but if she is, I need the hookup on some of y'all restaurants. I need gift certificates or something like that. So to tell you guys a little bit about Miss LaVon, she has a passion for teaching and helping women identify and eliminate the distractions of their life. A lot of y'all know y'all went into 2017 distracted and you came into 2018 distracted. So you know we're going to touch on that. And make sure if you have any questions or comments, you put them on Define You Radio's Facebook page where we should already be connected. She helps them birth their purpose. This is why you want to eliminate distractions, kings and queens, so you could give birth to something. She does this by helping them to rediscover their voice as they reconnect with the woman they forgot they could be. I'm so loving that. One of the things I've said, if you guys have been listening to me or following me for a while, finding out who Valencia was a powerful thing, and now you can't shut me up, hence Define You Radio. And with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and welcome Miss LaVon to the show. Welcome, Miss LaVon, to Define You Radio.
Hi, Valencia. Thank you so much for having me, and I love what you said. You know, now they cannot shut you up, and that is truly what the reminder is about, getting back your voice. So, yes, I'm for it.
Yay! I love that because so many women, men, like mm-hmm. they forget they have a voice, and I say it happens in childhood because you know you hear that you know children should be seen and not heard, and mm-hmm. then you wonder when they become an adult why they're acting out or they're not speaking up for themselves. Well, you told them their voice wasn't important at a young age.
Oh my God, yes. I mean, you hit the nail on the head because that's exactly, even in the book, that is one of the things that I talk about. I'm truly with you on that. It starts at that young age because we're told to be quiet, you know, to sit down. You know, your voice is almost like they slowly just started taking away your voice and shaping you into this person that, you know, is almost afraid, you know, to hear their own self speak, you know, to voice their opinions, to explain their feelings. I mean, we slowly begin to just die to ourselves.
Hashtag amen. Now, you mentioned a book. So that means you wrote a book
yes.
about this? And what
yes.
is it called?
Well, the reminder is it's a devotional. It's a devotional style. I like to call it an interactive devotional because it's going to have some challenges in there for you. It's going to have, you know, some work that you need to do. It's been a labor of love. It's set up sort of like a four-week plan to help you get back, reconnecting with yourself, you know, listening to that small voice that is still there, but it's just faint because you can barely hear it for all the noise that has become distractions in our lives. So it's about getting you to reconnect with yourself so you can tap in to you and begin to hear that little girl or that little boy that's crying out to be seen and to be heard.
Mm. Now, before we go any further in the interview, where can they find the book?
The book, of course, is on Amazon, so you can easily go there and search, and it does come in the paperback version, and it also is an ebook version. And then, or you can actually visit my website, and actually there's a link on my website that can take you directly to it also.
And her website is LavonneCopeland.com. That's LYVONNE. CopeLand.com, but it will, of course, be posted on Define You Radio's Facebook page, so you guys will be able to find her and definitely get the book because it's time to be loud. It is
yes.
time to be loud.
Yes, yes,
maybe
it
that's
is.
Just my, maybe that's just my feeling. So
no.
Let me ask you about you growing up. As a young girl, where did you grow up?
I grew up here in South Carolina. I was the oldest of three, so always was a probably an overachiever, perfectionist. I can say I've always been a leader, but also at that young age, I did. That's where I now looking back, I can see that's where I began to slowly lose my voice. But I love to say I'm a Southern Belle. You know, I was always extra. I guess most people would say now I'm that friend, that person that's going to always be extra. I don't know what sneakers are. You know, I love a good heel. but I've always been that way, even as a little girl, always, you know, wanted to be dressed up.
I love that because I'm going to tell you, I don't wear tennis shoes in public unless I'm going to exercise or like I'm going to do something that's I'm going to get dirty doing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my thing. And I tell people it's not that I think I'm, you know, I'm me. And I just, I like my toes to breathe. I like my feet to,
yes.
you know, and the right heel will slim your body out, ladies.
People don't, thank you.
And make your calves look good like you've been doing calf raises in the gym. Do not underestimate what
yes.
a good heel can do for your posture, the way you walk.
Yes.
It adds a little extra where it needs to. And I'm telling you.
I'm with you. I am with you. And I don't think people don't get that. For me, I mean, I notice I can have on the same outfit and put on a pair of heels and a pair of flats. It's like two separate outfit.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Thank it gives you. And it gives you that. It to me, it lifts you to where you feel like, you know, I want to have my head up high. I want to have, you know, my back arched. I want to walk proud and confidently. So I'm with you, girl. I'm with you on that.
Amen to the heel. Amen yes. to the heel. So
amen.
You said you're the oldest, and
yes.
that's when you could say you started losing your voice. Is there any particular situation or thing from your childhood that stands out to you to where you felt like your voice didn't matter or was shut down?
Yeah. You know, being the oldest and, you know, having a mom that, you know, had to work, you know, she was a single mom. She was a young mom, actually a teenage mom. So even at a young age, I had to take on a lot of responsibilities. So I couldn't easily say, you know, why do I have to do this, or I don't want to do this, or, you know, I really want to go play with my friends, but, you know, I maybe had to babysit, you know, to watch my little brother and my sister, you know, to take care of them, you know, at a young age, already learning how to cook dinners. I felt like I had a responsibility that everyone was expecting out of me, so I couldn't say, you know, even sometimes to say I'm tired. You know, even how do you think as a child to be able to say, you know, I'm just tired. I would rather just sit in my room and do my homework or to read, you know, or to talk on the phone with my friends. I want to just be a child. But at a young age, I had to, you know, almost felt like I had to be a young adult because I had to, you know, help my mom out.
I'm sure a lot of, I know I could relate to that, and I'm sure a lot of the audience can relate to that too, especially, you know, if you're the oldest or you're the responsible one, you tend to lose your childhood. So when you hear things, you know, especially growing up in the South, to stay in a child's place, well, I don't exactly know what that is, or I didn't know what that was because I was doing so much. I was responsible for, you know, my sister and my stepsister. So I didn't know. I mean, it's almost like you got to run away to be able to be a child.
Because you probably was doing laundry and helping cook meals and had chores, you know. You did all that.
And that's exactly why I don't like to cook right now. Man, stuff.
Like you had done your cooking.
Life comes full circle. I'm just
real
life. But I'm going to tell you something else that did to me. It made me not want to have kids. Now, of course, everybody knows I have a son, which, you know, he saved my life, and I love him to pieces and back. That's my world. But taking care of kids when you still are a kid, to me, it made me not want to have kids.
I can agree with that. I mean, totally, I can agree with that. I remember saying that so many times.
So do you have kids now?
Yes, I do. I actually have a 23 and a 21-year-old. So, and like you said, I can say they saved my life. You know, they actually caused me to move to a place that, you know, almost like, look, you tried to recapture, you know, all of this that you didn't get because you had to grow up so quickly, but they made me slow down. They taught me patience. You know, they, of course, showed me a love that I never thought I could love someone so much, you know. But I remember, you know, saying that. I even have my high school memory book, and I wrote in there, you know, it asks you about kids, like in 5 years or 10 years, none. You know, that was my thing. I was like, I'm going to live my life. You know, I feel like, look, I done all this. I done, you know, help clean up, you know, help put my sisters through school, my brothers through school, you know, brought Christmases. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to grow up. I'm having fun. But I can say that was the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, they really taught me, kind of taught me a lot of lessons, a lot of life lessons that I am, you know, now understanding, you know, okay, I can understand why my mom, you know, why certain things had to happen. And they were my saving grace.
Did you consciously make sure that they enjoyed their childhood so they wouldn't grow up and say, I didn't get a childhood because I had to do this, this, and this? Did you consciously raise them to enjoy their childhood?
Absolutely, probably a little too much.
Hashtag amen.
Yes. You know, my sister and I, she's only a year younger than me, but she understands, you know, a lot of the responsibilities that we have, and even, you know, me, because she even said, she was like, you know, you're my sister, we may be just a year apart, but she said it's almost like you're my mom, you know, because you've raised me. But even now having kids, and we know, you know, we were nowhere near rich. We were very poor, you know, growing up. And so we know, I truly know I've overcompensated. You know, I wanted to make sure they had, you know, they went to parks. A lot of the stuff that we didn't get to do as kids, I know I wanted to create memories for them because I wanted them to have memories of their childhood. But there was probably some areas where I probably should have reeled back in some, you know, because now as you, of course, once they get to teenagers and young adults, it's like, okay, you can't continue. You know, you have to have some responsibilities. You have to learn more. But, yeah, I know I wanted them to enjoy every bit of childhood, from playing football to cheerleading to, oh, you want to go to this camp, you want to do this, just keeping them active.
Yeah. I totally relate. And I posted this a while back, right before Christmas, I think, and I was saying, you know, being a single parent that didn't get a childhood, I know I overspent and overcompensated with things with my son. And I don't regret it because those memories, it's memories that he has that he's going to always remember.
Yes.
You know, duh, that's almost like a circle.
Those moments.
Yeah, those moments. And even now, he'll be 21 in March, and even now we're still making memories.
Yes.
And but what I found is that I'm enjoying an adult childhood, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like when we got the little, you know, blow-up things that go outside in the yard. This was last year because for some reason, I mean, this was 2016 because for some reason 2017 they disappeared. But I set them up in the house before
really?
I put them outside because because, you know, those things are expensive. And growing up, we could never, you know, afford to, like, put those kinds of things in the yard, like other people's houses, and do all that and that. So I was like, I'm putting these things up in the house so I could enjoy it. So it's like I get to be an adult, but then be an adult with a child sense of fun, you know, and enjoying that. I'm enjoying that part. But one of the things about being a parent, like you said, you know, you could see why your mom did a lot of things or said a lot of things she said not when it's you're a parent. And one of the things I always tell my son is that when he has kids, and I told him he better wait, give me about at least 10 more years because I'm not mature enough to be nobody's grandmother.
I know that's right.
I said, I don't think I'm grandmother material because I'm not babysitting nothing.
I done told mine the same thing. I said, when I want to see him, I'll let you know, or I might drop off a gift.
Right. I'm going to be that drive-by grandmother. Like, I'll buy that.
I got you.
One of the things I told him, when he has his own kids, he'll understand a lot of some of the no's that I told him and why I told him things
Absolutely.
About why some of his friends could come to the house and others couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You
Absolutely.
Know, so life comes full circle. So do you find that having kids, because I'm taking it you have a boy and a girl.
I do.
A male and a female, okay. Did you find that helped you rediscover your voice?
Well, I would say, and you would think it would have, but I would say it probably caused me to go further from hearing my voice. It probably caused my voice to become even more faint because I became so wrapped up in them. Because like you said, I wanted to make sure that they had the best and most fabulous Christmas. You know, I wanted to make sure that they got to go to the zoos and the parks and the museums, you know, festivals. I just wanted to make sure they had memories, they had moments. And I wanted to be present in all of their moments that I kind of forgot about. I need to have moments for myself. You know, I need to look back and think, you know, what did I accomplish? That it wasn't attached to my kids or my husband, you know, or my family, but what did LaVon accomplish? Did I do what God asked me to do? So I would say I came so enthralled in their lives that I kind of forgot about mine and put it on hold for a while.
I know every woman can relate to that part.
Mm-hmm.
Every woman can relate to that part because there's always somebody else to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
What was that defining moment, as I call it? What was that wake-up moment? Maybe it was your spirit making you feel guilty, because I think that when it's something we're supposed to do and we don't do it, there's a certain, like, you know, you should be doing this.
Oh, yeah.
What was that defining moment that you said, hey, I got to do something while I'm here besides being a mom and wife?
That defining moment came at the end of 2016. During 2015 and 2016 became some very hard years for me, to a place that I kind of withdrew to myself very, very deep, you know, into this place, almost like this black space. But at the end of 2016, I was sick. I mean, God laid me out. Because I'm never a sick person, you know, I don't get sick a lot. But towards the end of 2016, I started experiencing vertigo. I started, I had kidney stones. My body just started slowly telling me, you know what, we're not going anywhere. You're not going any further. You're going to have to stop and listen to us. And during the point, at the end of December, in December of 2016, I had a bout of vertigo that left me pretty much just in a ball in the corner of my couch. The most I wanted to do was go to the bathroom and come back. I didn't want anybody talking to me. I didn't want to be touched. I didn't want to hear anything. I just wanted to be still so the spinning would stop. But it was during that time that I was laying there that I heard God, you know, reminding me that, you know, we have some unfinished business. Because I've always been a visionary. I tell everyone I dream in color. You know, I've always written plays and scripts, you know, for church. I had done writing. I love writing. I've always said I wanted to write a book. But at that point when I was on the couch, he was like, it's time. You know, you've done for everyone else, but now you have to do for me.
Mm. Now, for those, you said so much, so I'm definitely about to hit on a few things. But for those who don't know what vertigo is, why don't you go ahead and give a brief explanation of what vertigo is so the audience is not going to Google at this moment.
Vertigo, and it's still something that I'm, you know, learning a lot about, but to explain it in its simplest form, it's almost like motion sickness and dizziness at the same time. It's, you feel like someone has placed you in a chair and spent you around at 100 miles per hour and then told you to stand up. Mm. And while you're standing, everything around you is still going 100 miles per hour. It gives you the point of the motion sickness. You know, you're queasy. It causes you to have headaches. It causes you to be nauseated. I mean, I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to drink. It just brings it. You almost have this feeling of just impending doom. Like, God, if I move, I'm going to die. Almost to the point you feel like you don't know if it's taking your breath away. You know, you can't have see. It does so much to your body at one time. And the thing is, there's no there's no cure for it. You know, they can give you some medicines to kind of alleviate. You know, like they gave me something to help with the dizziness, something to help with the nausea. but there's really nothing you can do with it. They have to try to figure out what's causing it. You know, is it an ear? You know, a lot of people that experience it is something to do with their inner ear, but for the most part, there's not a lot. You just have to ride out the storm.
I love everything you said, because one thing about I've never had vertigo, but I could relate to it in the way that I used to get car sick.
Exactly.
And it doesn't, and even now as an adult, but you don't get it all the time, and you can't explain it. You just feel yucky. And the reason why I say I love everything you said, because there's so many things about, if you look at, you know, vertigo or motion sickness or things like that that can't necessarily be explained to people that haven't experienced it. That's a great analogy in real-world terms for life.
Yeah.
And then I love that you close with, you just have to ride out the storm.
Yeah, you do.
And that, and experiencing that, which no one else can explain, it's kind of like trying to explain a migraine to someone that doesn't, that's only had headaches. And
they will never understand.
A migraine should be against the law. But you can't, to someone that's only had a headache, you know, and same with migraines, you know, they could try to give you different medicines, trying to figure out what may trigger it. And different things like that, but literally you have to ride out the storm. And that was a long 3 years of my life that I dealt with migraines, and to where I almost overdosed because nothing worked. Nothing. But I got to the root of the problem. It was it was my life and how I dealt with me. It was a physical symptom of an emotional stressor.
I mean, what you said is absolutely the perfect way to explain it, because I feel like that's God saying that same spinning feeling, like you said, that pounding feeling is, to me, it represents our lives spiritually. God's like, you're spinning out of control, and it's time to stop.
Did you find that you experienced it more when you felt out of control?
I don't know, because it's like it would hit, and I probably would say yes, because it would hit me when I'm like, I can't right now. You know, you're feeling like, look, I have too much going on. You know, this is not a time to be having a migraine. You have those moments, you know, you say, with the migraines, or it was the same thing. I don't have time for this right now, because when it did, when I would have an attack, I couldn't do anything. And sometimes, you know, the bad thing or the craziness about it, it can last anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes, 5 to 10 hours, 5 to 10 days.
Wow.
But all you had to, you couldn't do anything. You know, it caused me to stop. And a lot of times I'm like, look, I'm having a lot going on. But because it came on me all of a sudden, it took me by surprise, because I'm like, I don't understand what's wrong. I could be in the car. I have been driving in the car, and like I can feel it. I can start feeling, and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to hurry up and get back home. I just need to make it home, and I get right in my spot with my blanket, and you know, and my husband knew, the kids knew, just leave mama alone until it passes.
Interesting. It's almost, because I kind of want to turn the conversation a little bit into, in a spiritual way.
Okay.
Because I know you have dealings and are part of a women's ministry. And then you said that, you know, when you came into your purpose, so to speak, and you found your voice, and it was that little reminder, hey, you're here for a reason. Being a spiritual person, well, first, let me kind of rewind. Tell us about the women's ministry.
Okay, I am at our my church, New Hope Christian Church, here in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Our women's ministry, we have, of course, a women's ministry that's for the women of the church. The our theme, the program that I created for us is called Sisters United, and it's like a 12-month plan where each month we take on a different topic for women. The goal of it is for us to rebuild and reconnect and or to establish those true foundation of sisterhood. You know, it's time we need to genuinely support our sisters. We need to genuinely motivate and encourage and stop wearing the fake yeses, you know, the facades, and to embrace the true spirit of sisterhood. So that's the intentions of our fellowship each month, is to build those relationships again, to help women, some women that didn't even realize how beautiful a sisterhood could be, to help them establish those types of relationships.
I love that. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times you don't miss what you know, you don't miss what you never had.
Exactly.
Or something like that. But then when you find out it's out there, you're like, what? Where has this been? So,
oh, my life.
You know, right. Like, I should have been part of this, because a lot of times people don't understand what a sisterhood is. What a sisterhood is different from being a sister. You know,
yes.
What that building and that bonding. And you don't even know that you need it until you get it. And then you realize you've missed out.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when you had okay friends your whole life, and then you run across that friendship that changed the game. It's like, hold on, I really didn't have friends before, if this is what real friendship looks like.
Exactly.
Do you find that women have a harder time when it comes to that genuine sisterhood, that genuine support, that genuine, girl, I got your back, and I don't have to know what's attacking you, just know I got you.
Yes, I think that is one of the biggest things, the biggest revelations we've gotten out of the group. The last year was my first year launching it, and just over the course of the last 12 months to see the transformation, because women, it's like we go through so much and you've been hurt. And it's like once you've had that experience where that person who thought, you know, quote, thought was your sister, you know, your friend didn't do right, you know, you begin to question the motives of every woman. You know,
you begin to wonder,
can they genuinely, you know, be my friend?
Yeah.
Can I really confide in you? You know, because if I tell you something and then the next day, you know, I'm hearing about it from somebody else, you know, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
You know, we're not used to making the same mistake twice, and we take a pride in, you know, wanting to protect our hearts, that sometimes we build a wall around our heart that we don't allow those right people in. Like you said, until you experience that right relationship, friendship, sisterhood, then you realize exactly how beautiful it can be and how much you've missed out on.
And you hit on so many beautiful points, and thank you so much for sharing that and being obedient and doing that women's ministry, because women, we don't realize, and like you said, it's hard. It's hard for us not to build that wall, because I'll be the first one to say I am guilty of, I'm working with my wall.
But you know it's up there.
Right. It's, you know, because I'm such a sower and such a giver. And what I have to realize is that I don't want those parts of me to change. And it's hard not to change those good parts of you because you have sown into concrete. There was a quote that I love about, you know, make sure you're hanging with people that's wanting to feed the soil, not just pick the fruit or something. I know I'm misquoting the guys. I will post it on the page so you can see exactly how it goes. But I feel like, you know, so it's kind of like you really have to use some discernment and pray and pay attention. And I know that if I would have went into certain situations with friends, and I'm using my air quotes, that I would have saw the signs before I got hit at the red light.
Yeah.
So one of the things I tell people is, you know, make sure you pray for intentional and relationships and friendships and those people that, you know, if you sow into them, you're sowing into fertile soil, and they're mm-hmm. sowing back, and it's reciprocal relationships that have a foundation and not just built on what can you do for me. That's my ten and 2 cents on that one. As you guys see, that's a monthly series right there.
Really can be. It's real though, and everything that you said, it is so real, because one of the key things, like what you said, is they really do have to get to that place where you're praying for and having a spirit of discernment when it comes to having those godly relationships, those divine connections with other women that can truly rock for you and ride for you, so that's going to support you regardless. Like you said, if they don't even know the situation, they're like, I got you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to lift you up in prayer, and we're going to see our way through. Exactly.
I'm telling you. One of my requirements, I want praying friends. Like a man wants a praying wife, a woman wants a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to pray for you. Did you pray for me today? You know,
I know.
You know, you
should have felt that someone right in the spirit.
Yeah.
You should have been praying for me.
I'm saying you just have to, you know, pray really.
Yes.
For your family
really.
And friends and cover them, and you don't have to know. You know, you don't have to know, but I want to be covered. I want friends mm-hmm. that cover me in prayer, you know. And a lot of people, you know those accidents that didn't happen? That's because
mm-hmm.
someone's covering you.
Somebody was praying for me.
I'm going to move out.
I know.
So, like I said at the beginning of the show, that January is the month of vision. It's our vision series on Define You Radio. So when we talk about vision and the vision for your life, what comes to mind, or what comes in your spirit about the vision for Miss LaVon and her life?
Well, especially now that I'm at this place where I'm actually in alignment with what God has envisioned already for my life, I feel like I'm actually in a sacred place, because I can see and understand that there's more to who LaVon is, you know, and her voice, and being able to connect with women. You know, I know that's what he's purposed for my life. You know, that's the vision that he has for my life, because there are so many women, and especially women in ministry, that because they're in ministry, you know, or because they feel that because I'm saved and, you know, and I love God, you know, I just have to keep quiet, and I'm just going to pray about this thing, and allow people to treat you or use you, or, you know, I'm just going to be pleasing, and not understanding that God's giving you a voice for a reason. And so I know that is my purpose. And so I envision, especially over this next year, just to be growing me as a better speaker, as a better teacher, you know, to help just connect with these women. I just want to see women empowered. I want to see them loud. You know, I want to hear them roar. I just want to see women connecting with who they are, so that we can help others, because that's what it's about.
I love I love that. And, you know, if you're a new listener, you know, things that I say all the time, number one, I always say I love that because I don't think we love enough, so I love it. And I always say yay, okay? Yay is like my number one favorite word. So that's for the new listeners. If you're an old head, if you're, you know, a defined you radio veteran, you already know the deal. So just thought I'd throw that out there. But it's so many things in what you said, because women in the ministry, and I'm not a woman in the ministry, but I know several, and it is so many things that they have to, it's a certain appearance they need to have, a certain quiet voice, a certain demeanor. It's so certain. The box is already built, just waiting on them to, you know, get in it. Like, the box is already built for them. So
exactly.
I only can imagine, you know, a woman, you know, being, you know, a woman in a ministry, out there helping other women and encouraging them to, hey, find your voice and be loud. Like, no, I can't do that. We're in church, you know, like, you know, so I,
no.
It's like you burn in the box, baby. You are burning the box. So,
and if you know my friends, they are loud. You know, my pastor, my bishop, sometimes he just shakes his head. He's like, I swear, y'all, I'm just going to have another class. We'd be like, we'll be at the altar next Sunday.
but
it's comforting.
It's supposed to be.
Yes.
They have, if we look at, you know, If you study the Bible or know anything about the Bible, the disciples, Jesus, so on and so forth, a lot of times people, they see, you know, being quiet is like, okay, Jesus was quiet and the apostles were calm and, you know, we should all be calm and stuff like that. But, Jesus did
some
stuff.
Yes, I was going to put that butt right there.
Yeah. It's a song in front of my head, and I'm not going to sing it because if somebody's listening, they would shut it down. But it talks about being the lion and the lamb. If you look at Jesus' life and look at the apostles and the disciples, and don't quote me, guys, because, you know, I'm still learning in my spiritual journey. But, and I want to say it was Paul, the one that used to kill Christians, and he was loud.
Yeah. Honey, we all have to have a Paul spirit sometime, because he was the zealous one. You know, he had a heart for God. Yes, he's gonna be the one to be like, look, where they at? They say they gonna touch my Jesus. Well, come on, we gonna ride through. But that lets you know it's okay for us to be like that. Like you said, people think that, okay, Jesus was quiet and meek and all this disciples.
He was tables and stuff.
Yes. You ain't gonna bust up no devils and bust up hell being quiet.
Right. That is my Jesus. My Jesus is the one that was turning over tables.
Yes.
You know, so if anyone ever questions about being loud and being passionate about life, and, you know, you could be a Christian and in the ministry and everything else, and still, I tell people, I'm bold as a lion. If I was an angel, I've said this before, I told my grandmother this before she passed, I would be one of those angels that was a warrior. I'd be smiting people left, right, and sideways, turning you to salt, but I would pray for you and hope you got better. But God made me the way that I am, and once I accepted that, that it was okay for Valencia to be bold as a lion, that's when I found my voice. Because I thought I was a little bit too loud and too this and too that, because I've been told that I'm in the South. You know, you're a woman, you need to talk soft and this way and everything else. So I always felt like God made me wrong or something was wrong with me.
Yeah.
Because I have this loud, booming voice, you know, and I have such a quote-unquote extra personality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when we realize
that.
But
we have to see that he loved, the way he made you was the way you were intended to be. Loud and out, you know?
I'm telling you, y'all know. I'm sure people have to turn their computers down and phones down when the Find You Radio comes on. I just have a loud voice. And
okay.
I love that. And God,
because somebody has to hear it.
I'm just saying.
Exactly.
So as we get into wrapping up tonight's great show, I've learned so much in just, you know, I love you. Like, you don't have to come back. We flow well, and there's so much more we could talk about because you are very well-rounded and very interesting. And, you know, I love interesting people. Lessons learned in 2017, Ms. LaVon. What did you learn in 2017?
Wow. 2017 was it truly was a year of learning for me because at the beginning of 2017 is when I actually put action to what God told me to do and birthed this book and birthed the Sisters United series. So it taught me during all of that that everyone is not going to rock with you.
Mm.
You know, I had to learn that everybody's not going, and though there was a lot of people that I thought was going to go on this journey with me, that I realized everybody wasn't. And then I also realized that's okay, you know, because them not going with me was not going to stop the journey from happening, you know, that it will still continue. And what God had already said and ordained would come to pass. 2017 taught me that hard work does pay off and that I had to learn to actually say no, because I knew that when I decided that I was going to hear God and be obedient to him, that I had to learn to say no, because I could no longer allow distractions that now I know was just sent from, you know, the enemy to distract me from birthing what God had said. But I had to learn that those distractions were just that, and saying no was my freedom papers. So 2017 was an amazing year. Taught me a lot about people, a lot about relationships, but most of all, it taught me so much about myself.
Mm. We must have had the same 2017. Because when you said everyone is not going to rock with you, I wrote that down in all caps, because y'all know class is in session and y'all have y'all pens and papers ready. But I wrote that down because it's a truthful statement. And you know what came to me today? And I was listening to John Gray, and I love John Gray, and I will be in South Carolina to see him when he goes there if I don't catch him in Houston. But he was saying, look, now my mind got just all twisted. But long story short, 2017 was really about learning and pruning, right? It was, and I am paraphrasing, guys. This is not John Gray verbatim. For somebody's like, can you say that? This is not him verbatim. I'm doing a Valencia summary. That 2017 was all about, A, showing you what you could go through and grow through. It was showing you some people that you needed to leave in 2017.
Exactly.
Because if you have this, everything that you prayed for, if you have that blessing, that blessing that's come to you in 2018, and the people that didn't mean you any good, but you didn't let go in 2017, and you got blessed and you were still with them, they would have caught some of your overflow.
Yeah, exactly.
And they weren't meant to go. And that's just, you know, like you said, some distractions are definitely from the enemy, whether it's internal or external.
Exactly.
Because if I could frustrate you so much and distract you so much because you're all in your feelings, guess what? You're not going to focus on your purpose.
And there it goes, on the back burner again.
Y'all better understand.
Exactly. Yeah.
If your purpose and what you're supposed to do wasn't so important in changing the world, it would be easy.
Oh, yes.
But because...
Now, that's hashtag amen right there.
You know?
Yes.
That's what people don't understand. You being attacked, distracted, and all of these things are coming to you because your purpose has the power to change the world. Otherwise, why? No, what they say, nobody's coming to rob an empty house.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other show. We're about to get into another hour. Y'all gonna have to get me and Ms. LaVon on part two. Okay, I'm going to work with her on scheduling it because that's a whole other show for people to realize that. Let me focus. Define you radio family. Okay. what can we look forward to, or what are you looking forward to for 2018?
Oh, I'm looking forward to just growing and becoming better, you know, with my craft, with the talents and gifts that God has given me, just really moving to a place. One of the things, and I actually did start out with 2018 doing, was investing in myself, you know, not only the words that I wrote in the reminder, but fully embracing those words for myself. So investing in myself, understanding that it's okay to say no. I have already said no this year to a few things and a few people. And understanding that I am, you know, what God has planned for me for this year is to be fierce and to be fabulous. And that is what I intend on doing each day that he allows me to walk this earth.
Hashtag amen. That's what I have to say. Ms. LaVon, is there anything else you would like to say or leave the audience with? And how can they find you, find the book? How can they stalk you on social media? We're already connected. Well, y'all not stalking, but follow and support. we're connected, which I'm like, yay, I love her. So but how can they connect with you and get to be part of your world?
Okay. They can follow me on social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. My name, LaVon Copeland. So I made everything easy. My website, if anyone is interested in me speaking, teaching, facilitating, or learning more about the Reminder or about Sisters United, they can go to my website, www.LaVonCopeland.com. There is a Work With Me form on there that they can submit to reach out about questions about anything. Of course, I'm super excited about Sisters United launched the second part to Sisters United launching this year. And just really getting out here, building and promoting, you know, the book, and really getting the book in the hands of those people that's in it has been intended to touch and to impact. So follow me on any of my social media handles or visit me on my website.
Yay. It's okay, I'm adding that. That's my last yay of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Guys, Ms. LaVon, number one, thank you so much for being on the show, and welcome to Define You Radio's family. She will be back. I'm telling, quote it, write it down. You stay connected with the show so you'll know when she will be back, because we have some discussions to have to help you guys learn to define your 2018.
Yes.
With that being said, thank you so much for listening, and make sure you connect with me at DefineYouRadio.com. Make sure you guys are connected to Define You Radio's Facebook page and also the Define You Movement on Facebook, where class is in session 7 days a week. And you definitely want to be part, because we're doing some live Facebook Lives about vision. And then we're doing a money challenge, and I'm just going to drop the mic right there. Because, Queens, we got to get our money right in 2018. More to sow, more to grow. That's all I can say. So with that being said, until next time, remember your past doesn't define you. It gives you definition. And it's up to you what you do with that. Y'all have a great night.
Thanks for listening to Define You Radio. Make sure you connect with the show at www.defineyouradio.com. Pens and papers down. Class dismissed.